the Offside Rule exclusives.
Goalkeeper Willy Caballero has had a career which traversed Argentina to Spain and most memorably in Manchester City. He's played under Manuel Pellegrini, Pep Guardiola and Jorge Sampaoli. In 2018, he was part of the World Cup squad with Argentina, and among his honours, he can lay claim to an FA Cup, Copa Libertadores, Europa League and League Cup. He's now at Chelsea, playing under Frank Lampard as one of the senior members of that young squad. We discuss everything from where he started with Boca Juniors to his family life to his team now.
The Offside Rule exclusives with Kate Borsay and Lindsay Hooper.
We are at Chelsea's training ground where we've managed to get Willy Caballero to spare us some time just to have another chat, one of our exclusives. Kate Borsay with me. I want to start, Willy, by just speaking to you about your early life, because you played for Boca Juniors, which are one of the biggest clubs in South America. How did your initial move to them come about? Because you were very young.
Well, first of all, thank you for this invitation. Yes, I started when I was 14. I started to play for the Academy of Boca Juniors, so I had to leave my family. I started to live with 80 or 90 boys, kids or players in the academy, in the same building. And it was a very tough and difficult experience to leave family and friends. But I grew up as a player. I started to training, and I had the opportunity to play for Boca when I was 19 years old. It was fantastic. The club, the atmosphere, that any games that we play there, I play there. It was fantastic because the supporters are magnificent every weekend. It looks like it was another life because it was almost 20 years ago, but it was fantastic.
What was it like leaving home? Because you travelled right the way across Argentina, so we're not talking about a couple of hours away in the car, are we?
No, exactly, because Argentina is so long, and I was away from my house 660 kilometers, so almost 9 hours. So the first year was terrible. It was difficult because for 5 months I couldn't see my family. Then when the adaptation, it was a little bit more easy to live without them, and also because I was really young.
A lot of players that we've spoken to that have moved away quite young, they end up living with a family. Is that what happened for you? A different family took you in and you live with them whilst playing?
No, in my case, I live together with the rest of the players from around the country. Boca Junior, until now, they have a very good academy, a very good place to live. It's like a hotel for kids between 12 and 18 years old. So we were living over there, maybe 80 players from these ages. Of course, and in the morning we have to go to school, and afternoon we have to training. It was the starting of a new life, and it was difficult, but at the end, it was a fantastic way to believe in what we were doing, training to be a professional player.
It sounds like those boys then, they became your family.
Exactly.
Because you were so close. Were there any names that we would know in Europe that were part of that?
Well, yeah, I've got my very good friend is Nicolas Burdizzo, which now is a manager director of Boca Juniors. Mm-hmm. And he played alongside with me. But he also did a great career in Italy, in Inter de Milan and Rome. The rest of the players did a great career, but maybe in Mexico, maybe in Spain, or also in South America. But it was a great family. But also the coaches, they were almost our fathers during those days. So we have a great memories because they help us a lot.
So Boca Juniors is very much the foundation of your career, and I know you spent a few years there until your early 20s, and then Elche came in for you from Spain, a club where you were at for an incredible amount of time. What was that like? Again, did it feel like a natural move to move from Boca's from Argentina then over to Spain?
Well, in fact, it wasn't it was a little bit a surprise because I was on the bench in Boca Juniors, but I was almost ready to play. I knew it was a matter of time that the first choice will arrive very soon. But with a change of manager, he decided to leave me out. And the offer from Elche arrived the next day. So I took it because it was a great opportunity to play and to keep growing up as a person and as a player. So I learned a lot doing this movement. So I recommend this movement for every single young player, because sometimes when you are in a comfort zone, you don't know what you are losing and what you need to do. And the best way to learn is when you move away your comfort zone.
Mm, you spent 7 years at the club. Did you have family with you? Were you a single man at that time? How did you navigate? Because you're, you know, away from your hometown in Argentina.
I was father so young when I was 20, 21. We moved with our daughter to Elche. And then we had another daughter. She born in Elche. So we have a Argentinian daughter and one Spanish daughter.
Nice.
Multiple passports in your household.
Yeah, lots. Yeah, it's true. But it's quite good.
Was that something that you were encouraged through football? Because you hear these stories that managers encourage players to settle down early and to have children early because it stabilizes you as a player. Was that something?
Well, in our case, it was unintentional. It was something that happened. Something. Yeah. So, as a man and as I love my wife, my girlfriend in this case, it was an opportunity to show how we loved each other, and we did the best we can do in this moment. I think the manager or the coaches that I had in the past, they encouraged to do the right thing. And I think I did it in this moment. I did it with my wife, with my daughter, and I learned a lot from them. I think I am doing during my whole life this.
People discuss the differences between South American football, European football, but you seem to settle in very, very quickly at Elche. And you've even gone on record since to say that you feel like you're a much more European player. And is that something that you were quite aware of when you went there?
Well, this is, I think, is just called adaptation. And in Spain, when you arrive, they start to think how we have to play, what we have to do, and what we can improve. It's just adaptation. I think sometimes anything happens or lives make you moves, and you have to play one day in Barcelona, another day in a small team. So you cannot play how you've been playing in Barcelona in a small team or in another country. It's really different because in South America it's another weather, it's another grass, it's different. You cannot play fast as we play in Premier League in South America because the grass is so long. So at the end of 20 minutes, you are dead.
So it's interesting.
This is the difference. And it happened with Argentinian people when they go back to Argentina to play for the national teams. They move to Argentina to play. They have one game in Argentina with a different weather, with the long grass. And sometimes the Argentina fans or the Argentina supporters, they want to see Messi playing as he plays in Barcelona. And sometimes it's difficult. And the next game, they have to go to Lima, Peru, or to Ecuador, or to Colombia. And it's a high altitude. Mm. So it's different every game, and it's tough for them, tough for the players.
The Offside Rule exclusives.
As you mentioned, football is unpredictable and life is unpredictable as well. And I know when you were at Elche fairly early on there, you had to go back for a loan spell to Argentina, and that's connected to your daughter. Just tell us what happened in that situation.
Well, I was starting my second season at Elche. I was doing the pre-season, and my wife called me told me that the doctor found something in the eyes of my daughter. It was called retinoblastoma, it's cancer. It was a very difficult moment for us. So I left immediately Elche. I spoke with the president, with the manager, and I said I need to stay with my family. So I left. We've been doing treatment with her. She has been doing treatment. We've been supporting her. She did every treatment possible to save the vision, to save the eyes. And during 5 years, we've been trying. We've been doing everything. I don't remember exactly the dates, but at the second year of the treatment, we had to do a surgery because it was an possibility to reactivation. I don't know if mm-hmm. correct. So she had to lose one eye, and she's now using a prosthesis. But the most important that during this period, we've been together, and we passed this moment together. We learned a lot. She's fine now. Mm-hmm. She's healthy. She's fine.
So she's got sight in one eye now.
Yeah, she has just one eye, one vision, and the other, she has a prosthesis.
How old was she when that happened?
She was 3.
Just 3 years old.
Wow.
That was so much for a young little baby, really. She's still a baby to go through. And you were still a young man as well.
Yeah, and my wife too, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the wrench and upheaval in your life, obviously football becomes secondary and you have to just shelve that for a moment. But it seemed like you had the support to be able to go back there. And Elche obviously said that you could go back.
Yeah, it's true. Elche bring me immediately the support to just in my daughter and my family. And I could spend 6 months without playing, with, of course, training with the national team and training with friends or with teams in Argentina. And the next six months, I found the opportunity to play for Arsenal in Argentina, which was really, really good for me, for my family also, because they need also to see me doing my stuff, my training, or my things, because during those the second 6 months, my daughter was in a very good stable situation, so it was good to stay with her and to do my job. But the support from the club, from Elche in this case, it was fantastic.
I'm aware that you're outnumbered in your house by women. You've got
you've got another daughter as well.
You've got a wife and two daughters.
I think it's the first time that I can speak with two girls, because in my house I don't have opinion.
We'll try and let you speak.
I know what that's like being a mum myself. I have a very strong-minded daughter who's 10 now. Just tell us about the characters of your daughters and what your hopes are for them, because of course they're growing up here in England, having spent a bit of time in Spain, time in Argentina for your eldest daughter, of course. What are their characters like, and what are your aspirations for them as they grow up here in the UK?
Well, both girls are very different character.
Mm. So your oldest one's called Guillermina, is it?
Yeah. Guillermina. In Argentina, Guillermina, we say
okay.
Guillermina. Guillermina here. And she's lovely. She's kind. She's very close to me. She was every time very close to me. And the other one, Aitana, she was very strong character, very different to Guillermina, but now when they are more close now, she changed a lot his character, and she's lovely too. But at the beginning, it was really, really strong character.
A difficult one to handle, which we all have one.
You know, when you have one, you have just one focus, but the second, you see the difference. Oh, this girl is that, the other girl was that or something, but it was massive, the difference.
Yeah. They are both very big fans of you being a footballer.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. But my little daughter, Aitana, she started to to understand a little bit more during the last 2 years, because before she doesn't
she doesn't get it. How old is she now?
No, she's nine.
She's nine, so yeah, I can totally relate.
Both of them started to love more my job or the sport at the age of eight, so they are quite similar in this.
Because of your experience there, and because clearly with your eldest, you know, there were worrying times, I just wonder, as a person, giving you perspective as a footballer, because many people observe this sport from afar and think it's about wealth and everybody having a great lifestyle. But of course, real life things happen. You're still human beings and real life things happen to you. And did that help you in your career as well, with certainly with your mindset?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was, as I say, it was a very, very difficult moment, very difficult for not just for me, for the whole family. But it helped me a lot to believe more in myself, to believe more, to be more strong. Because when I was in Boca Juniors, when I arrived to Elche, I arrived with a lot of doubts, with a lot of pressure for myself, a lot of desire to show what I can do or something. But after this, I felt more light. I felt that there are a lot of things more important than pressure. It was like I have to do a lot of things or work more or training more, but just to make her happy, make my family happy. And I forgot completely to put pressure on me, so I started to enjoy more what I was doing, enjoy more my training, enjoy more my games.
Yeah, almost not kind of think about it too much. Not, you know, because there's something else going on in your life. It's almost like actually sometimes it's good if football isn't your number one perspective, because without pressure, sometimes you play better.
And it was no coincidence either that your next spell you went to Malaga. And would it be fair to say that was perhaps the happiest of times for you? I mean, in terms of career, you performed very, very well.
Yeah,
a bit of freedom.
After this, almost my career were going down, were going up, because the next years Elche goes in this direction, in high direction. The next step was Malaga, first division. So it was a great jump for me, for my career. And then we played champions. So everything goes well in terms of career. But in terms of life, I was doing the same. I was enjoying a lot. I was having fun. I was believing what I am doing, but with the same mentality. It's try to be achieving a lot of things, but try to create a great atmosphere in my house, because I thought the most important was the life of my daughter and my family.
You played under Manuel Pellegrini at Malaga. So that's your first introduction to him. And many people who know your time at Manchester City will also know that he brought you over to England as well. What were your first impressions of him as a man?
I had a really good impression from him, from Argentina first, because he was a manager in a few teams over there. But when I know him, when I started to working with him, just confirmed what I thought, because he is a gentleman, he's a good manager, and he was very, very gentleman, always with me, always speaking with the truth with me, or with my mates also. And it was a fantastic coach in my career.
You enjoyed success at Malaga under Pellegrini. You were in 2012-13 named the best player by one media organization in the campaign. Then you were nominated best goalkeeper in La Liga the next season, 13-14, alongside Thibaut Courtois, who was at Atletico Madrid at the time, and Keylor Navas, who was at Levante. So some incredible performances from you. When the time came for you to go to Manchester City, just tell us how that worked. Was that because Pellegrini had brought you over to Manchester City, or was that led by you? How did that move work out?
Well, first of all, it was difficult to choose because the loves from the people in Malaga and the way that I was living over there and working or enjoying over there, it was amazing. It was fantastic. But as I received the call from Pellegrini the first time when I moved from Elche, I had another one from England, from City this time. I felt the same sensation. I felt that it was my time to do the correct movement, the correct approach to the league that I wanted to play because it was my dream. All the things went well in this day, and we could jump to the Premier League, and it was really, really a good movement for me.
You came to England fairly unknown, because despite the success that you'd had in Malaga, and you'd obviously been in and around Argentina teams as well, I know that you'd had success at the Olympics and different things, but you were fairly unknown. And did you like that people didn't already know that much about the way that you played and your history either?
Yeah, of course. I knew everything before to sign, before Pellegrini calls me, because every time you jump to another league or you go to another league, another country, you have to be a really, really talented player or really good famous player to the fans or to the people knows you. So in my case, it was like that, and I knew that I was as a second goalkeeper, so I knew that I have to show in the training and in during the games that I can play to create a great atmosphere between the club, between the players, and also between the fans, because this is a good thing that you need to for them to believe in you.
And it wasn't just any club you were going to. Manchester City, one of the best teams in the Premier League. Was it a conscious decision for you to move because you wanted to play in England, albeit as a second choice keeper? Or had you considered, because you'd been playing first choice keeper really at Elche and then at Malaga as well, was there perhaps an ambition to stay at first choice? You must have had to make a little bit of a mental decision, really, I suppose, whether you join one of the best clubs in the world and play as second keeper, or whether you perhaps go to another club as first choice.
Well, I already knew during those days that if I keep playing for Malaga, probably the thing's going to happen again. What I've been doing in Elche, I've been doing a very good seasons, but I never could go forward. So it was a casualty that a goalkeeper got an injury and Pellegrini calls me. And I spent almost 7 years in second division. So in this day, I remember what happened during those years. So I decided quickly. And of course, I knew that I had to fight a lot for my opportunity, for my chances. And I also depend on the performance of Joe Hart. But when I arrived, he started to do it perfect. He improved a lot, and he did a great seasons in front of me.
Can we chat about the penalty specialist that you've been branded because of your time at Manchester City? In the League Cup final against Liverpool, Kate's a Liverpool fan, but we'll just...
Sore point.
Oh,
we'll
so,
obviously talk about this.
I'm sorry.
I was there, very excited to have my seat at that game.
Three penalty saves. And it did earn you this accolade as being the penalty specialist. And it certainly meant that you were forever cherished by Manchester City fans for that victory. Equally for you, as important, your family were all there watching that performance, and you had that ability to be able to give them that performance that you delivered. This is what it's all been for.
Yeah, well, this final or this end, it was almost righted for me. It was a perfect way to achieve a trophy. But it wasn't lucky. It was a lot of job or concentration or a lot of fight between me and the other player or my mind or whatever. But it was a fantastic moment that I spent with my family over there, because I think, and not because we what we passed or we live what we live there with my daughter or whatever, but in my mind or in my heart, it was those moments, and probably God bring us this moment to enjoy together.
What was it like when Pep Guardiola came in? Because of course Pellegrini brought you over, and then in walks one of the most, if not the most famous managers in world football. Just tell us about your reaction to him coming in and how he changed things at Manchester City.
First, it was a little bit a sad moment when Pellegrini left, but we knew already 3 months before to end the ending of the season that Guardiola it will arrive. So the start with Guardiola was magnificent in the way that he wants to play, in the way that he made a lot of movements inside of the club, with the target to improve everything in the changing room, in the staff, in the way that we have to eat, to sleep, or everything. He was in everything, in every part of the life of the player. And in the way that he plays, we knew already from Barcelona, but it was a difficult adaptation from the players to do it on the Premier League, because no one team did it before. So we had to spend a lot of time the pre-season trying to find the way that he wants to play. But it took a lot of time. We didn't win anything in the first season with Guardiola, but almost 3 or 4 months we were already playing in the way that he wanted. I think it was a difficult season for him also, not just for the player, for the club, but it was a very good way to learn and to appreciate a fantastic coach also, because he can or he could makes me better keeper. He helped me to do more things. He helped me to improve, and he also gave me the right orders or the right or directions to do good things. And I'm grateful to play for City, to play for him. He's a great manager.
You had a brief moment where you were his number one for a while. So Joe Hart had gone down the pecking order. You were playing number one, and this was before Claudio Bravo came in. Did you at any point think that you could have kept that shirt, or were you always aware that he played with a very different sort of keeper to what you...
No, well, I knew already that he was looking for a top goalkeeper, and that he doesn't want Joe Hart as a goalkeeper. So Joe left the club and Claudio arrives, and I know that the way that Claudio plays, because he's a fantastic goalkeeper, he's fantastic with playing with feet, and he has a great vision of football, is what Guardiola loves as a goalkeeper. But the season for him it wasn't perfect, and it was my opportunity to play as a field goalkeeper. So I tried to believe just before to have this opportunity. I started to believe that I could be the number one, and I did it. So I finished my stage on City playing as a number one. So I finished really, really happy over there.
This is the Offside Rule from Muddy Knees Media.
Along comes Chelsea, and we know that your contract expires at the end of this season, and I'm sure that there'll be discussions there. But I'm really interested to know what it's like to play under Frank Lampard. Tell us the difference that's been made since Frank's come back to the club.
Well, I've been through in the last 2 years with Italian coaches, with Italian managers, with they have a a direction to do the things and repetitions and every day. And the way that we are working, we are training, and we play with Frank is totally different, and is totally beautiful to train with them.
That's actually a really nice word, isn't it? Beautiful is a very interesting word to use.
Yeah, because sometimes as a players, we have a job to do, but during the week, we have to enjoy. And we are enjoying now. We are enjoying training a lot. I don't want to say funny things, because we are professionals.
But you mean that you're having a lot more fun? Yeah.
We are enjoying doing the shooting session, the competitions, and we are training our skills, which sometimes with big managers, you just, as I've been in Boca, I've been training just for win, or I've been playing just for win. But I think with Guardiola and with Frank, we train our skills, and this is sometimes it's difficult that a manager can do or can offer our players, because they know the level of the player, and they thought that they cannot improve the level, but in fact it's possible, and those two managers are doing this.
You've just mentioned Lampard in the same breath as Guardiola, which many people will be certainly Chelsea fans will be hoping is to be true in the future. You're the one player that has played with him at the end of his career at Manchester City, and then you're in the dressing room and he's your boss. Has that been a strange transition?
Well, I've been playing with him, but also a few players here been playing with him also. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the only one. I've got a good experience with him in City, and we had a good memories. It was funny also to start the season and see him as a coach, and to listen him now giving us orders or how we have to train. And it was funny, but on the second day, I realized that now he's my boss, now he's this, now he's that. So I have to... I it's true, I need... a few hours to,
yeah.
You know,
how
sometimes
is he different as, you know, from being a teammate to a boss? What are the main differences that you've experienced?
Well, first of all, you have to respect more now.
Yeah, it's true.
This is it's a fact. I think everything that you leave as a player when you have a teammate, and just stay there, stay in the change room, stay in your mind, in your memory. And now it's another... turn page, and it's another chapter of the book for him and for me too. So it's another life start for them, for him, and the same life is for me. But I knew him as a player, and he's showing us in the way that he's believing in the way that we have to play and we have to train, and it's fantastic. So it's good to see that.
In the kindest possible way, if it wasn't for you in the squad, the average age would be a lot lower, wouldn't
it? It's true. It's true. Sometimes I feel that I can be the father of one of two players.
Yeah, but it's true.
Well, as a goalkeeper, I am happy to be here. I hope I can stay more.
And you like this experience role and imparting a little bit of wisdom to the younger ones coming through. Of the talent that Frank has given an opportunity to, I'm just wondering, from all your experience of watching players and watching training, those hours behind closed doors that we don't get to see, you know, in terms of raw talent, who's got it? You've worked up close with Messi, so like working now, you know, who is it that really shines?
I've been lucky to train with Messi, Aguero, and a lot of good players. But here, last season with Hazard, with William now, but in the young kids, or in the kids that we have in the team, we have a lot of talent. We have a great future. The most important thing, I think, they are very good settle on the mind that what he wants. I'm not listened to the boys talking about money, and that's a fantastic way. They are speaking about football, and they want to win. the other day we lost against City, and they've been great and speaking about football. That is a great atmosphere that we live in the changing room. As a experiment, as a professional, or all this work, whatever, sometimes you have to help kids or to help in the way that they are training, what they have to change, or what you can help them to improve, because you live a lot of seasons. But I feel sometimes that, yeah, I am helping them, but they don't need too much.
It's interesting because Frank's given a chance to some players like Tammy Abraham, who've come through the youth setup. And traditionally, there's been a bit of a disparity between kids who've come up through the youth setup here getting a first team chance. It's great to see kids like Tammy Abraham coming through. Who excites you to watch? Who are you excited about? If you're talking to someone about this Chelsea team and you're saying you should watch this guy and this guy, who's sort of really exciting for you to watch, to keep an eye on, I suppose?
Well, I think every one of them are playing.
You're being very fair, Willie, here.
No, but I like to play and to watch Mason Mount.
Yeah, another one.
He's doing good things and playing. And also, he's good in listening, so he can be a great talent for Chelsea and for England also.
You mentioned about how it's impressed you that there's football chat in the changing rooms and it's not about money. And I guess for the people that are handing over this sport that we love, and it happens, you know, these generations come through and soon enough you'll be hanging up your boots and handing it over for the next generation to enjoy. Is there a part of you that's concerned about the money in the game or the social media aspect now? Because I know that you have a bit of a laugh with some of the guys, and there is this word influencer now. We've seen that Cristiano Ronaldo earns more from being an influencer than his actual contract at Juventus. In terms of the state of football and when you do eventually leave it, the state it's going to be in, are you positive? Do you have concerns?
I think everything, you know, the technology advanced very quickly. And sometimes the experienced player or the oldest player has the same methodology than 10 years or 20 years ago. But we have to adapt. I have to adapt every year because the youngest or the kids are already prepared to do a lot of things. Sometimes they do quickly or they do better than the experienced player.
We completely get that, by the way. Some kids are so quick on social media and on adapting, and it makes, I don't know about you, but it makes me feel really old because it takes me 10 minutes sometimes to write a good tweet.
No, it's true. It's true. But we have to take care also because they have to know a lot of rules for this. We have a lot of people working here to help them to don't make mistakes because we can get in ban doing... doing likes or retweeting a lot of things.
To be that careful,
exactly. Sometimes the new players or the kids doesn't know. But I think if we can help them to manage well, we, as a player, we can do everything well.
Willie, we have spoken about quite a lot today. We've spoken about you having to leave home early, you having to move and adapt to different countries, the own pressures that you've had in your personal life as well, and your daughter's illness. Technology, we've just finished on that, and how much it's changed in the time that you've been playing. I just wonder, singularly, the most defining moment away from football that you think has shaped your career.
Well, I think when my first daughter... she was born. It was a really nice moment, and it was a very big change in my way to live. I changed completely to think about me, about player, and I started to think about family. So I think it was a very good moment without football.
And you and your career here, we know that your contract ends at the end of this season. What do you want to go and do? Would you like to stay at Chelsea, or is there another club that you would think about, or is it now time to think about what happens, whether it's coaching or something else after your football career?
Well, of course I've been thinking about it, but now there is no offers, so there is not the right time to think about it, because Of course, I finished my contract, but I got also an extension. So it depends of what the clubs need for the next year. But I am really happy here, and I am enjoying working for this team, trying to be ready for the next opportunity. But at the end of the season, I have to think with my family what is the best for me, for my career. And of course, I am 38 now. I'm not the end of my career is very, very close. But I don't feel the necessity to leave this, because I love football, I love sport, and I love the way that I am living. So,
do you think you'll return to South America one day?
No, to play football, no.
Or in another.
Maybe to live, maybe because my family is over there, the whole family is over there, but no, not to play football. I think I spend a lot of year here, and in the way that I played in Spain or here, it's so difficult to go back now and achieve the adaptation so quickly. So I think it's not a good idea.
Whatever happens next, it's a very wise head that's on your shoulders, and it's quite therapeutic, actually, speaking to Willie today. I feel like we've all had
We all know how Tammy Abraham and Tomori and Mason Mount feel. They've got this wisdom around them. Thank you very much for sparing some time and
you're welcome.
This chat.
You're welcome. Thanks,
Willie.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this week's Offside Rule exclusive. To hear more like this, just go to available episodes, where you can hear the likes of Watford's Aurelio Gomez talk to us, West Ham's Pablo Zabaleta and Burnley's Joe Hart, plus many more. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Offside Rule Pod, and subscribe so you can be the first to hear our brand new episodes.
The Offside Rule is a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.